Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're live right now to allow you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or discuss your real-life issue. So we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the Holy Spirit this month. It's been a fascinating subject thus far. We appreciate so many of you who have called in and asked very provocative questions and real-life questions, and we encourage you to do so today as well at 1-800-677-9377. This week we focused on Galatians 5:16. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. And that passage just goes on. And it's such a big subject. It's such a broad subject. It's not something that we can handle in a 25-minute radio broadcast. So we want to revisit it today. And Andrew, we're certainly glad that you're a part of the broadcast today. And I know this is one of your sweet spots as far as in trying to help people understand what it means to live by the Spirit or walk in the Spirit. What are some of the issues that keep people from doing that you've encountered?
Well, first of all, I think there has to be an awareness that Christ is in us and that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. In fact, Paul calls him that. At one point, he says that the Spirit of Christ dwells in us. So it's not that the Holy Spirit is different, far off, distant, has another character. I mean, we're talking about the presence of Christ within us. And so that's first and foremost. But the whole idea of walking by the Spirit, Bob, it reminds me of an episode of Dancing with the Stars that I saw. There was Marley Matlin in this episode. And Marley, if you know Marley, I mean, she was born blind. She was blind from birth. And the music starts playing, and she can't hear the music. That's what it is. She was deaf from birth, not blind, but she had to keep in step with her partner because she couldn't hear the music. So here you've got this person who's deaf. They have the inability to hear the music, but they have to keep in step with their partner in order to make it. So you just, you look at that situation with Marley, and it's kind of a reminder of what we're doing. I mean, we are keeping in step with God's Spirit. We are walking by Him. We're kind of moving to the rhythm of His steps, and there's a partnership there. I guess it's a deeper relationship, though, because the Spirit of Christ lives in us, not just a dancing partner on the outside, but there's a motivating and an animating from inside.
Well, and also it seems that that's a process that we're involved in. It's not a once and done type of thing. When the Spirit comes to live inside of us, the instincts that He gives us are unfamiliar initially, and we have to get comfortable with what He's doing so that we really can keep in step and we can, experience the rhythm of His life in and through us. And I think that's where a lot of people give up. I know you and I play golf. Richard plays golf some, and we have these homemade swings, and we think this is what we're supposed to be doing, and then we go get a lesson, and they said, no, you need to hold the club differently, and then your swing path has to be different. And as you start to try that, all of that is so unfamiliar. It feels weird. Mm. And because it feels weird, sometimes you just give up and you just say, I can't do that. And I see so many Christians kind of giving up because the impulses of the Spirit aren't familiar with them. And it's hard to keep in step initially. Yeah. But you just have to recognize that God knows that, and He's going to continue to work and bring you to that point where you can naturally keep in step with the Spirit of God. And that's when it really becomes glorious, doesn't it?
Yeah, you think about that golf instructor who gave you those two steps or three ideas on improving your swing. But then, let's turn that golf instructor into Tiger Woods, the world's greatest golfer ever, arguably. And then let's make him in spiritual form and place him inside of you. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. I mean, it's one thing to have an external teacher. It's another thing to be indwelt by the spirit of Tiger Woods and then get your mind renewed over the next 30 and 50 and 70 years and let Tiger play through you, let Tiger play for you as you allow him to express himself. So, I mean, this Christianity business, Bob, it's like nothing on earth to be indwelt by Christ Jesus and his character and to bear his fruit, and yet we're made for it. I mean, we've been redesigned for it. It actually fits with our new nature.
Yes, indeed.
Well, if you'd like to be a part of the broadcast, part of the conversation, we invite you in right now, friends. 1-800-677-9377. The voices you're hearing, Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, Richard Pfeiffer is here as well. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us, and we want you to be a part of this broadcast. So if there's something on your mind, on your heart, in your spirit, give us a call. 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open right now. Guys, a question from Michael, who writes to us, writes an email to us, and this is kind of an interesting question. He says, I've noticed a big change since I started walking in the grace of God since 1992. He said, I've cussed a lot, but since I've agreed with God, my vocabulary has changed from the heart. Knowing my history, is it wrong for me to correct others when they use bad language in my presence?
Interesting question, isn't it? And, you know, I think he's answered his own question in the way he posed it to us. You know, as he started abiding in the life of Christ, walking in grace, standing in grace, he saw changes start to take place in his language. And so that was a result of God's work in his life. And so I think as far as others are concerned, we need to allow God to work in their lives as well, and continually point them to the love of Christ, continually point them to this journey of faith, this walk, or this life by the Spirit, and allow the Spirit of God to clean up their language. It's not our job to clean up somebody's language. It's the Spirit of God's job to clean up their language, and he will do it. And this gentleman is a case in point. So I think he's answered his question there.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate hearing from Michael and from all of those of you who are right to pose a question to us here at Basic Gospel. And if you would like to pose another question, or if you have something you'd like to pose, just drop us an email at basicgospel.net.
Yes, indeed. I want to remind our listeners we're just almost a week away from Stand 2014. It starts next Thursday, June 19th, right here in Plano, Texas, at the beautiful Hope Center. Andrew, you're going to be there speaking, and you have two wonderful messages that you're going to give. I'm so excited about what you're going to be bringing to the hearts of those that are there. And I know you've been doing some prep work, and tell the folks a little bit of what they can expect next week at the conference.
Yeah, you know, first of all, one of my sessions is going to be about how we stand in the promises of the new covenant. What has God actually secured for us? How secure are we? How safe are we? You know, it's interesting, probably one of the most popular double talk doctrines out there today is that Jesus died for all of your sins, and Jesus forgave you of all your sins unless you sin too much. And we hear that sort of thing cloaked in this doctrine or that doctrine, and it's not really the truth of the matter. The promises of the new covenant, the promises that God has made, are so much more beautiful, so much safer. He has secured us in such an incredible way. Be talking about that, and then be talking about these, I'm going to be talking about these emotions that we have, and how, you know, I can be an eager, sincere child of God, and yet emotions can fly, and I can be feeling stuff on a level 10 that just flies in the face of the truth. And how can I walk in truth despite all of my feelings driving me crazy sometimes? How do I interpret those feelings? How do I process them? What do I do with them? And that's a key part of walking by faith.
Yes, indeed. Well, Stand 2014 starts next Thursday. All the information and the way to register is available at stand2014.com. Come and join us. I think it's going to be the event of summer in 2014. So don't miss it. Come join us next week. Well, let's go to Wayne, New Jersey, and talk with Eileen, listening to us on WMCA. Did I pronounce that right?
Yes, you did.
Well, how can we help you today? And thanks for calling.
Well, I heard your comparison with the Holy Spirit to Tiger Woods, and he cheated on his wife. I don't think that's a great comparison at all.
Yeah, yeah, I definitely
think... I'm really offended by it, obviously.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was referring to his skill level, not his morality, but you're right. We could pick Jack Nicklaus, or we could pick somebody who had a more sterling character, but ultimately... there's not a human on the planet that's going to have the character of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the main point is, I mean, we really stink at golf, and we have to be indwelt by someone else who can play the game. And we really stink at the Christian life apart from Jesus. And so, yeah, it's all about the skill level of Christ. He's got the market cornered on morality. And we really need to walk in dependency on Him. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that. I don't mean to offend anyone, and I'll improve my example.
Well, thank you very much. But yeah, there's lots of other golfers that have a lot more character than him.
Well, you bet.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Eileen. And thanks for calling in and weighing in on the topic today. We sure appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day. Thank you.
Hey,
bye.
You too. God bless.
Again, time and open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Corpus Christi, Texas, and talk with Ryan, listening to us on KCTA. Hi, Ryan.
How's it going, sir?
Doing well. Nice to hear from you today.
Nice to hear from y'all, too. I was actually flipping through some stations and found y'all on 10:30 a.m., and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. They're actually talking about how the Spirit of Christ actually intertwined with a little bit of our awareness and about how we perceive the world around us and such. Go ahead.
Did you have a question on that, Ryan? Did you have a specific thought that you wanted to share or something?
One thought I wanted to share was it kind of ties into how we have a little bit of, we have some, I don't want to say evil that has occupied our federal government to the core, but there is a little bit in there that we need to sift through in this year's upcoming election. We really need to pray about who we need to vote for and who we need to be having in our decision-making positions for this country. One thing I wanted to touch up on about the conscious awareness that you guys were talking about a minute ago, about the awareness of the Spirit in Christ, how the emotions come and go, that's so true. One thing that really bothers me, though, and I'm sure I'm not the only one bothered by this, but if you've noticed throughout history, what they sometimes try to do whenever corruption gets into power, they try to falsely label, like using marketing tactics, almost as if they're trying to falsely label and profile Christians or people who have strong faith as people who are unsafe, or they're trying to brand any act of human emotion as unsafe or something as some kind of a reason to take away our rights. Am I going off on the deep end, or have y'all kind of noticed this as well?
I mean, I would say I've noticed it. I have a deep concern about where we're going in the next decade or two with regard to free speech and with regard to what is going to be considered hate speech and where it's going to go. Because, you know, you have to be careful that we maintain our liberty, and, you just never know where the world is going to go in terms of persecuting Christians for their beliefs. We've seen it thousands of years ago. It's still alive today in certain countries, and we need to be guarded and careful. I think you're discerning to have that on your radar. So we vote our conscience, and we vote how we believe God is motivating us to vote. But in the end, our hope is not a government. Our hope is in Jesus, no matter what happens.
Amen to that. Amen. Yeah, and the government realizes that there actually are chemicals on the periodic table, going with what you said and everything. They actually have ways to manipulate free will. I mean, all of the data mining that you see going on, like the 1984 Orwellian systems where they harvest our records and data, and they say it's for our own good. But
yeah,
who really
well,
knows?
There's a lot of stuff out there that we could get worried about, and I hear you. I mean, there's some things out there that we could get concerned about, everything from LED lights and
yes.
this, that, and the other. There's experiments on mice, and you know.
Well, and that, Andrew, that's one of those things, the, you know, trying to figure out the world and what the world is up to, and all the secrets and all the backdoor conversations and how they – you know, kind of control the world. That's fascinating stuff. That's intriguing stuff. And sometimes we can get so interested in it, we can get pulled away from our mission as believers in Christ. And that's to proclaim the good news of his death, burial, and resurrection. We shouldn't be surprised at the world system. I mean, the Bible has clearly described what that world system is. And at its core, it is anti-God, anti-Christ. And since it's anti-God, anti-Christ, it is going to attack those who have aligned themselves with God through faith in Jesus Christ. That's, you know, we shouldn't expect anything less. That's just the world that we live in. But God works through us in the midst of that, and that's the great news. That is the wonderful news, that God's purposes and his desires will not be thwarted. The world cannot win. It will not win. We've already seen that to be true in the victory that Christ secured through his death, burial, and resurrection. So, Ryan, we sure appreciate the call today. Thanks for joining in.
Yes, indeed. 1-800-677-9377. I tell you what, I'm empty, Auntie. I am empty, Auntie. Empty phone lines. That's what I'm empty.
Mm.
And we have plenty right now. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, we had a caller that hung up, and the question on the board was a discussion about different doctrines. You know, why are there different denominational slants, different denominational views on, you know, things like baptism, things like how to partake of the Lord's Supper, salvation, is it forever, can we lose it? It seems like if we're all looking at the same Bible and all reading it with eyes open to truth, that we would be in unity about those things. Why is it that we have such diversity in denominational beliefs?
Yeah, Bob, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to us chasing after more knowledge for ourselves, more understanding for ourselves. You know, the Bible talks about Jews looking for signs and Greeks looking for wisdom. We've got kind of a very Greek approach here, at least west of the Atlantic. We are trying to be as smart as we can be with theology. And it's almost like the gospel is simple, and it's for fishermen, and it's for little kids, and it's for people of all walks of life. There's some basic truths that are simple and straightforward. And then we come in and complicate them as we chase after more complicated doctrines, more complex thoughts, and we sort of end up messing up the gospel as we dress it up. You know, I called my first book The Naked Gospel because we've dressed up the gospel with all kinds of extras on top. And, you know, we're talking about walking by the Spirit. And to some people, I know that sounds ominous to some people. Oh, how do I walk by the Spirit? It sounds so, you know, nebulous or so ominous. But God also calls it walking in truth. And that's something tangible. Truth is tangible. And there really is real truth to be known now about Jesus, about the forgiveness of God, the grace of God, the identity of the believer. There's real tangible truth we can sink our teeth into.
And when you actually meet other Christians, say you go to another country and you meet other Christians, that's where you find unity. But if you start talking about the things that they do, and, you know, this is how I think we should live the Christian life, and you say, well, no, I think this is how we should live the Christian life, when we put ourselves into the equation, that's when division starts to happen. But if we just keep refocusing on Jesus and what he's accomplished for us, then I think we can live in harmony one with another and find those connection points where we truly are like-minded and grow in those. So I think that's a great question and something for us to really, consider time and time again. Well, let's go out to Denver and talk with Kenny listening to us on KRKS. Hi, Kenny. Kenny, are you there? Well, we're going to put him on hold, and we're going to go to West Hempstead, New York, and talk with Claudia listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Claudia.
Hi.
Welcome. How can
my
we help you?
My question is, I've been born again, and I have the Holy Spirit in me, and I talk to Jesus all the time. And I'm trying to quit smoking, and I just can't do it. I keep buying them, and I need prayer. Anybody out there could pray for me, I would really appreciate it.
Well, I think just the fact that you've mentioned it, a lot of listeners will be praying for you right now, and certainly appreciate that. I think that's one of the great benefits of a radio broadcast like this. As people call in, you have a whole group that can listen and hear your heart. Guys, you have any thoughts on kind of steps to take as far as quitting smoking? I know it's one of these habits that we get into, but oftentimes we make it really, really spiritual. We think God is disappointed in us if we continue to smoke. We think he may get mad at us. Sometimes we even think, if we don't quit smoking, maybe we've crossed the line and we're no longer in his good graces. So how do we start talking about, a habit such as this?
Yeah, well, first, Bob, I feel like it's a health issue. I mean, it's a health issue and a health concern, just like, it's interesting that pastors and preachers and teachers will get up and condemn smoking and any form of drinking, and then they'll pull right into the McDonald's drive-through every week and eat and get cholesterol to the point where they have a heart disease or something. So, both are not taking care of your body very well. So it's more of a health concern than it is just this heinous sin that we have to single out and lord over people and make them feel awful about it. So number one, there's lots of good healthy choices we can make in what we eat related to drinking, eating, smoking, you name it. I mean, our body belongs to God, and so we make healthy choices because they're the best choices. But it's not a guilt game. I mean, I think we need to get away from the guilt game, number one. Number two, you're dealing with what is most likely an addiction of some form. There's a physical hook to it. I mean, there's a nicotine high that you get and experience and enjoy, or your body does, and then you feel a lack and you feel lethargic and you feel low energy, and then you need to go get that fix again. And so there's a physical side to this that's really heart-wrenching sometimes. And so I think ultimately we have to say, I am dead to these things. I am dead to this hook. I am dead to this addiction. I am alive to God. I am free. I am not a slave. And I'm going to let Jesus Christ be my counselor in this matter.
Okay, thank you.
Claudia, let me do this. Let me put you on hold, and I think we have some resources that will be of great help to you as you walk down this path. And whatever we can do to help you, don't hesitate to pick up the phone and call. We want to journey with you as you try, okay? Thank you, Claudia. You hang on. We'll get your information and get some valuable resources to you.
Well, guys, just about out of time, and thanks to Andrew for being a part of this edition of Basic Gospel, and friends, thank you for joining us. We're going to be back tomorrow at the same time and hope you'll join us again for another live edition. In the meantime, I want to remind you that this month, of course, we're focusing on the issue of spiritual gifts and the indwelling Holy Spirit. And there's a lot of confusion today, just as there was in the early Corinthian church, but Bob Christopher has addressed the issues of this controversial subject in his CD called About Spiritual Gifts. And the CD is yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. To make your gift and request your copy today, phone 1-800-727-2828. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. Or simply go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link right on the homepage there. Also, we're only 8 days away from Stand 2014, as the guys were talking about at the outset of this broadcast. That, of course, our Bible conference featuring John Lynch, Andrew Farley, and Bob Christopher, coming up June 19th through the 21st. Stand 2014, finding solid footing in a broken world. For information and registration, visit our website that we've developed specifically for the conference. It's called stand2014.com. Well, again, thanks for joining us today. Now for Bob and Richard and Andrew and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time. See you then. Bye-bye.